Amen. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Praise God. Tell your neighbor, it's time for the Word of God. We have been in the book of Romans, and I want to stay there. I'm not really doing an expository type sermon, just walking right through. It's where I really feel the Lord leading me. In fact, I tossed a little bit this week about going, where we've been in Romans 6 for a couple of weekends, going back. And I still will go back, I'm sure I will, back, when I say back, to 5th, 4th, or 3rd chapter, 2nd chapter. But I want to go to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans today, taking those last few verses, beginning with verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He who is condemned, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, thank you for all that you have done for your people up to this point. I want to thank you for what you're going to continue to do for your people in this service. I pray that your word would pierce our heart and would do its perfect work in us, conforming us and changing us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. And would you say with me, amen. If God is on your side, if God is on your side, can I submit to you, if God is for you, then it doesn't matter what is going negatively in your life. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, when we look at this 32nd verse, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, reminds me of a story in the Old Testament found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Many of you already know the story I'm going to reference to. It is a story of Abraham, the father of faith, because he believed God. His belief in God, God accounted him righteous because of his belief in God. Now, if you remember the story of Abraham, God had called him and separated him, Brother Mark, from his people when his name was Abram. And God told him, he says, I'm going to make you a father of nations. In fact, he tells him, he said, look up into the stars. Can you number them? No, I can't number them. He said, I'm going to bless your seed. It's going to be as innumerable as the stars. He said, what about the sand on the earth? He said, can you number it? And he said, no, I cannot number it. I'm going to bless your seed that it will be as innumerable as the sand upon the seas. And so God was telling Abraham, I've got a plan and I've got a purpose from you. And God goes on and tells him, he says, from your seed, Now we have Abraham, God changed his name to Abraham, father of nations, his wife Sarah. And they're living their life and they're moving toward the place that God said, up from Ur and head out, and I will show you where to go. And so he journeys by faith the rest of his life looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. But yet he never finds that, and along the way, him and Sarah never has a child. Now they have reached the age of where that Abraham is almost 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. Now how many of you with human rationale would look and say, if I'm 100 years old, there is not going to be any birthing of children in my family? How many guys? I'm going to say, Lord, the time has passed. Whether physically it can happen or not, I'm 100 and I don't want to be raising no children. Now, ladies, what about you at the age of 90? Though God had said you're going to have a child, it's a promised child. And that promised child is going to be the seed through which God is going to bless, that is going to be as innumerable as the stars in the heavens. But at 90 years of age, how many ladies you want to birth your first child? So this is where Abraham and Sarah is at in their life. And so they look, and you know the story, Brother Tim. Sarah says, well, I guess it's never going to happen here, but I've got this handmaiden, Hagar. And Abraham, look, God's made this promise, and it hadn't happened, so I guess the problem's with me, and it's just not going to happen. Take Hagar, and you go into Hagar, and she'll give you a child, and this will help to fulfill. And you know the story. There's Ishmael that's born, and Ishmael's around 13, 14 years of age, somewhere along there, and God comes and reminds Abraham of the promise. And a year later, Sarah gives birth to a child named Isaac. Now we have the son of the woman, which represents the son of the flesh. Then we have the son of promise, which represents the promise of God, which represents Jesus Christ. Now we come to Genesis chapter 22, and God tells Abraham, take your only son and go to the Mount Moriah, which is where the temple was built. And Abraham takes two men, which are witnesses. And he says, go with me. And they go on a 3 days journey and they get to the foot of Mount Moriah. They're in Jerusalem. And he tells the two witnesses, you stay here. He said, the lad and I is going to go up yonder and we're going to worship the Lord and we will return. Now what you need to understand, Isaac is 30 years of age. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? And so Isaac and Abraham's headed up the mountain, and Isaac says, Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. They go to the mountain. They build the altar. They get it ready. And then the Bible said Abraham binded the lad. Now remember, how old is Isaac at this point? 30 years of age. Now do you think Abraham was physically able to refrain, to resist his father Abraham, which is about 130 years of age at this time? Yes. So Isaac, the point I want you to get, Isaac freely yielded to his father, for he heard what his father said. He trusted his father, and he presented himself, laid on the altar. Abraham raises the knife to offer his son. God stops him. Abraham, now I know that you fear me. And he turns to see the hear the voice. And he sees a lamb caught in the bushes and the thorns that has him bound up. That we see the symbolism of God giving his only son. But what we find here in Romans 8:32 is that God did not spare his son. as God spared Abraham's promised son, through which his seed would come forth, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul throughout Romans is endeavoring to bring these Jewish believers to the point of realizing that your salvation, your deliverance from sin, that you cannot set yourself free. There's no work, there's no good deed, there's no ability within man to free him from the bondage of sin. That God in his grace and God in his love, by giving his only begotten son, whom he did not spare, when God could have rescued him from the cross. In fact, Jesus himself said, don't you know that I could call to my Father and he would send me 12 legions of angels? If I so desired not to go through this, I could call and be delivered. But Jesus understood that the only way that you and I in 2013 could be delivered from our sins and be delivered from our oppressions and delivered from our storms and be kept to where we can walk through and be with God one day in heaven was he had to hang and die on the cross. And so Paul's endeavoring to bring the folks to this place of understanding. You do not earn your salvation through your good works. It is through the grace of God. But in this chapter, Paul is painting this picture of revelation through the Holy Spirit. It's like a stream that's gathering strength, Brother Mark. And as it gathers its strength and volume, it continues to flow deeper and broader. And Paul begins with the Christian state as one of freedom from condemnation. And he ends it by placing him on the summit of victory, experiencing the radiant love of God in his life. It is a chapter which is full of Jesus Christ. And we can see Jesus clearly as in his humiliation and in his triumph. We can see him clearly as the sacrifice in whom sin was condemned and as the risen Redeemer. We can see him as the firstborn of many believers. And we can see him as the present strength of his people by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we can see him as the one seated upon the throne and as the perfect Son of God. We can see him as the one through whose lineage all the sons are to be conformed to. And so Paul summons all of the adversities and adversaries to the very bar. And Paul begins to challenge them to prove their ability to upset his reasoning and to destroy his hopes of the followers of Jesus Christ. He pleads, who or what shall ever separate those who believe in the Lord from his love? Listen to Paul in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is making this statement here. Guys, I don't care what you say. I have come to understand God who called Abraham and spared Abraham son was making a statement that there's a day out in humanity's future that I will give my only son, because the only way that man can be set free from his sins is that I have to give my son. And if God did not spare his son because of his love for us, I'm telling you, church, Paul is saying there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. If God is for you, who can be against you? God's love was manifested to us in the creation of man. It was manifested to us in the riches of resources for man's world. It was manifested in that God furnished for us that which we needed for redemption. It is a love also, Brother Charles, that God wants us to distribute to all mankind. It is a love that has hindrances, though. It's a love that faces hindrances. Psalms 44. Let's go to that real quick. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put them to shame, those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. But you have cast us off. Listen, but you have cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy. And those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. Because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but listen, all of this affliction, all of this suffering, all of this shame and this reproach that some are saying, God, you've allowed it to come upon us. But he said, all of this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Verse 18, our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with a shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God, our stretched out hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Verse 22. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Again, this is what Paul is referencing right back to when he says in verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul is simply saying, don't you remember what David wrote? They were in difficult circumstances. There was peril. There was famine. There was sword. There was persecution. There was wars and there were sufferings. There were things that looked like God was allowing it to be done. Or maybe even God was doing it. But yet they said, we will not forsake your name. We will not turn away from you. We will not go to false gods. We may be accounted as sheep for the slaughter all day long. But their commitment was, I will trust in you. Can I tell you this Sunday morning, it doesn't matter what comes into your life. It doesn't matter what comes into your family. It doesn't matter what crosses you have to bear, what burdens you have to carry, what struggles you have to walk through, what battles you have to fight. It doesn't matter if this one over here on the right forsakes you, if the one behind you forsakes you, if the one to the left or in the front of you forsakes you, but he that is above will never forsake you. There is absolutely nothing in this life that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Don't let the things you're facing steal your song, steal your hope, and steal your faith, and steal your praise. God loves you. Give him praise in the house. It is a love, but it's a love that has hindrances. You see, the enemy will attempt in every way to cut you away from God. As a pastor over the years, and I still don't quite understand it. I understand trials and tribulations. I understand the attack of the enemy. I understand the seasons of testing that God puts us through. But he has a purpose for it. And the purpose is to develop and to mature you in him. I understand those things. I understand basic human psychology. I understand that. But I still can't grab a hold of people who are in the church who has exemplified to some degree, Brother Charles, a level of spiritual maturity. That when a severe testing or a severe trial enters into their life, and it doesn't matter what is the cause of it or what is the tool that God may be using, the thing that I still can't grab a hold of, if I could grab a hold of it, maybe I could, Brother Brian, I could maybe better minister to them and help them through this. But what I see is they lose their hope in God. The first thing they do is begin to quit reading the Bible. They quit praying. They quit their communion and fellowship and association with the body of Christ. They quit attending church. And they become turned, and then they turn inward because of what's happening. And I try to counsel, I try to pray, I try to help, I try to walk through scriptures. And can I tell you this morning, don't let the enemy pull you away, because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And whatever you're going through, if God is for you, if God is for you, then who can be against you? Did I give you Romans 5, verse 3 and 4? I don't know if I gave that to you. I don't think I did. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Let me read that to you. Listen to what Paul said previously. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Maybe you know what a tribulation is. It is a time of being tested and tried. But Paul said, not only that, and he's talking about being justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access into this faith by the grace of God. We stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And he says, not only do we do those things, but we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What is the significance of the challenge? It is to bring us to the place that we can stand and say what Paul did in Romans 8, verse 31. I don't care what comes. I don't care what people may say. I don't care what sufferings come. Who or what can separate me from the love of Christ? Have you got the joy of the Lord? Have you got the joy of the Lord? How many of you has had some pretty tough battles in the last few months? It may be physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, relational. How many of you had those? Raise them up and hold them up again. Those things cannot separate you from the love of Christ. And if they cannot separate you from the love of Christ, they cannot affect your level of joy. They cannot affect your level of hope. They cannot affect your level of praise. They cannot affect your level of faith. Because you know that nothing can separate you. You see, God, Paul makes it very clear, you may be in tribulations. You may be in peril. You may be in battle. You may be in sufferings. You may be in storms. There may be angels and principalities that's coming against you. there may be all of this opposition, and he's saying it's going to come, it's there, but when it's coming and it's there, God has you in his hand of love, and none of these things can pluck you out of his hand. And if God is for you while you in the midst of it, if you hold on to your faith and don't get your eyes on your circumstances, what they may be, and know that if God's for you, then what in the world can be against you? And thus you may be losing weight and you don't know why, but you can stand, Brother Ronnie, and say, in him I rejoice, in him do I hope. I don't have the answer, but I know he's in control, and death will never separate me from him. And you know what that does for us? It makes us much more consistent. Say with me that word, consistent, as a Christian. And you know what I have found as a pastor over the last 24 years now as a pastor? It didn't matter if I was in Walker County, Clark County, or DeKalb County, or back here. You know what I find? I don't find good consistency as a norm across the whole. I find a lot of this. You know what I'm doing? We're up and down. One day we got the victory. We're on fire. We're ready to win the world. And all of a sudden, boom, something hits our life. You've lost your song. You've lost your vision. You've lost your joy. You want to quit everything you're doing. I feel the Holy Spirit's touching hearts right now. Get a hold of this. What can separate you from the love of Christ? And he goes down and he answers the very question. There's absolutely nothing. Peril, sword, persecution, nakedness, famine, death. There's no angels. There's no principalities. There's nothing that can separate you. Death and height. He's talking about the span of God's creation. And in fact, he goes on and says, no created thing. There's absolutely nothing in this universe can separate you from the love of Christ. What am I saying? I'm telling you, if God is for you, Brother Bill, then don't lose your song. Don't lose your skip. As we age in this body, the skip may get a little slower. The dance may get a little slower. But it doesn't change the heart, Brother Charles. I'm going to tell you, God is still the same. What is the significance of our challenge? It is the time for us to learn the faithfulness of God about his love. Give him praise. Paul says this in three places. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 37, conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 39, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, nor angels, nor things, nor circumstances can ever sever you from his love. Christianity is founded upon the love of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This love can be seen down through the symbols of the law, pointing worshipers to the coming of the Savior. It is pointing to us that Jesus is the Paschal Lamb which was slain for the children of Israel. That he is the Lamb which Abraham spoke of. He is the sin sacrifice. He's the offering of the Lord given to redeem his people. A relationship is one which has been established by Christ. Even when he knew the pain and the anguishes that was to be born in the garden and on the cross. For Paul penned it this way in Romans 5 verse 8 through 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now I'm going to go to the second point real quick. There's the confident response. Of all these things, knowing the love of God, here's the confident response for us. Would you stand with me? What is that confident response? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul asked this, shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, will it be famine, will it be nakedness, will it be peril, or will it be sword? Then he reminds them of Psalms 44. It's written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And listen to what Paul says, the confident response. Yet in all these things, Brother David, in all these things, what? In the tribulation, in the distress, in the persecution, in the sword, in the famine, in the nakedness, in the peril, and in the sword. This feeling as if God has forsaken me. Maybe you ever felt like God's just turned his back. I mean, you prayed, you fasted, you lived, but it just seemed like he's turned his back. And so here's the confident response, Brother Joe. He said, yet in all these things, stay with me, yet in all these things. Go to verse 37, Brother Adam, where everybody can see it. Have you got it right there? There we go. Say with me, yet in all these things. Think about the struggles, the challenges, the pain, the suffering, the things that is coming into your life that the devil has endeavored to use to steal your joy, steal your faith, steal your hope, steal your soul. Think about it right quick. Have you got it? It could be a person. It could be a relationship. It could be a physical. It could be a financial. It could be someone within the family. Something's happening. Have you got it? Yet in all of that, that's come into your life, you're more than conquerors through him who loved you. One translation puts it, says, yet in all these things, it says, not that we're more than conquerors, yet in all these things, the victory is already obtained. The victory through him who loved you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If God is for you, Brother Jacks, if God's for you, who can be against you? You love God this morning, folks. Have you put your hope and faith in him? You see, Paul is building on this thing of justification. He's moving with sanctification, which is an ongoing cooperative work of ours with God. But now Paul, as he's progressing from this sanctification, he's dealing with the realities of life, that there are things that comes our way, but he's saying, look, nothing can pluck you, nothing can separate you, nothing can sever you from God's love. How many of you know God loves you? Brother James, you know God loves you. You're a daddy. You love those boys. I know what it is when your child is sick. You're worried. You've been worrying about your boy. You know he's got a virus. But I'm here to tell you, Brother James, the enemy will want to take that and distract you, even if it's but for a moment, to prevent you from experiencing God's love, God's grace, and God's power in your life. Because he knows that in that moment, as you celebrate the Lord, you worship the Lord, that it's in that moment that you can touch the garment of the Lord for your boy's healing.
Yes.
No, you didn't understand me. The enemy will take that thing and get you so sidewinded and distracted and focused off over there to where that
He can separate you from the knowledge and the understanding of God's love for you. And He knows these things are going to come to where that you get your mind off of Him and onto those things, where you will miss the opportunity to touch God for what you need in your life. If God is for you, then who or what in all of the universe can be against you? Because we're talking about Him who made it all. Are you ready to get your song back? Are you ready to get your shout back? Are you ready to get your dance back? Are you ready to get your praise back on? Are you ready? Then these singers are going to sing, and I invite you to come up. I may walk among you and pray with you, and I may not. I may just worship with you. But you're ready to get your shout, your song, your praise back on. You're ready to get your focus back right. Then get out from where you're standing and come on up here where there's some worship area, and just begin to praise Him. Begin to remind yourself, God, you're on my side. God, you're for me. You want my success. You want my prosperity in life. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Those things will never separate me from your love. Singers, sing. Would you come right now?